Galatians chapter 6 and verse 10, when Paul says, "Do you see with what large letters I'm writing you?" Has anyone ever received an email or a text that's in all caps? And the first thing you think is, "Calm down," right? And so that's kind of what Paul's saying here. Do you see the large text trying to get your attention here? Do you see what I'm saying? Do you see what is being shared here? That we need to do good to all people, and especially those of the household of the faith. And so we're going to take this opportunity here for several minutes this morning to pay attention to maybe opportunities and for us to think of opportunities that maybe we haven't yet before on how we can do good. If it's a command, then we need to be looking at how to make that happen. So we're doing things, I know this is going to rock some people's world, but we're going to do things a little differently this morning. All right? So we're going to ask, the thought of doing good, what does that look like? When you envision doing good, what does that look like to you? Right? Is there anyone here that does not know or understand what it means to do good things? Is there anybody that we need to stop and point that out to and discuss that? Everybody gets that, right? And I think, as we'll share that later on in the message, that no matter where you're at in your spiritual walk with the Lord, everybody understands doing good deeds. Now, whether or not you act in that is different. But so, doing good, what does that look like? So, told Nate to make sure we've got our mic on. There we go, all right? So, I'm going to walk around. I'm going to ask you, doing good things, what does that look like to you? Not to me, right? I can get up here. I get up here and speak all the time. But what does doing good things look like to you? Let's go, Isaac. If you had to label doing something good, what's that look like to you?
Just helping somebody that needs help, maybe.
Helping somebody that needs help, right? Do we all agree with that? Taylor, oh, she's clapping. Are you clapping so that it's a good answer and I'll just move beyond you? Or are you trying to get my attention? Oh, copycat. She's the one that when she took quizzes in high school, her name on the test would say Isaac, too, because she copied everything, right? No, that's not true. That's not true. All right, Gabby, what do you classify as doing good?
Something that can further the community and those in it.
You furthering the community? Mr. Burton, what do you think? Joshua, I mean?
Helping somebody regardless of what they do with that help.
Okay. That's getting a little deeper then, isn't it? And that's kind of what I was hoping for, that when we moved from the front row, and I appreciate all of you and your Christianity, I do, because you're just as much as part of the church as others. But at the same time, I hope that as we get back here, it gets deeper, right? And when I say deeper, I'm not talking about, you know, that it gets deeper in our thoughts, all right? All right, Dina, here, she's raising her hand. What do you think doing good looks like?
Sharing my knowledge and helping, even though I don't have the feelings that I should for the same person.
Okay, all right. So that's kind of where our knowledge and our the way we feel start to clang heads, and we know we've got our head telling us what we need to do, but then our gut telling us what we need to do. Mike, what do you think?
I think it's important to help those, even though, similar to Dina, that are hard to help, those that are
to love the unlovable.
To love the unlovable,
right? Sometimes we find that hard to do. Those that for God so loved everybody. So what do we think? Corb, what do you think?
Helping others because you are being an example of Christ to hopefully bring them to Christ.
All right. And so we continue to hear the same word of help over and over again. Adam, what do you think?
Hi, Mom.
Is that doing good because nobody else says that to her? Yeah. I don't know. All right, you think about that, Adam. Josh, what do you think?
Being open and recognizing when someone does have a need and okay. being willing to fulfill that need.
All right. So again, we trend back to the helping one another. The when we think of the doing the good, is that of things that need to be done? George, what are you thinking?
Filling the needs of others without counting the cost.
All right. Without counting the cost. We like to count the cost, don't we? We do. But what I want for us to just consider on some of these things, on this doing good, so we've kind of generally boiled it down to help, right? Help, I need somebody. Help, not just anybody. Oh, okay, sorry. I get off on my Beatles kicks, right? All right, but we need help, right? And so when we talk about this doing good, what does that look like? And taking that to then, so we said it all helps, but and as we got into talking with those that have been Christians for some time, except for Adam, we see that involves something to do with a recognition of Christ. And so that we understand why we're doing those things. You know, you can go down to Mrs. Fowler's pre-K and kindergarten class, and they'll be wanting to help each other do all sorts of things, good, bad, indifferent, just because. But we now, as we get older, then we start to see that there's a reason we do some of those things. So what are those things? And I want us to think of that, and hopefully it goes beyond just the physical thing, as we've shared, and it goes into this being a spiritual thing. We know that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, right? So he loves everybody, right? And we understand that, and we're supposed to be like God, and we're to love everybody. But it's easy to say, it's harder to do. Amen? And so how do we do that? John 1:14 through 17, that is not the, just skip that one. That's one that was carried over from last week. All right? So when we do have the opportunity to do good, here we go. When we do have the opportunity to do good, what do? John 17:11 says, I am no longer in the world, and yet they themselves are in the world, and I come to you. Holy Father, keep them in your name, the name which I have which you have given me, that they may have or may be one, even as we are. And we have the opportunity to let the light of Jesus shine. This here in John 17, Jesus is praying for his disciples to be more like him as he is trying to be more like the Father. Now, that's kind of something for us to really consider, because isn't the Father God? Isn't Jesus God? Isn't the Holy Spirit God? And so as we look at this, but yet Jesus is trying to be more like the Father and wants for us to be more like the Father each and every day. Christians are distinguished by living out the gospel in our lives. If not, how is the world to know that we are Christians? We live out the good news in our life. We too have died and arose again, just as Jesus Christ. We share the gospel in our life. Arise to walk in a newness of life. But as Jesus is sharing here, we are not to act like the world, and we are not to be like the world, even though we are in the world, right? So So as we ask this question again, when do we have the opportunity to do good? John 17, verses 13 and 14 says, "But now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world, so that they may have joy, my joy made full in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world." Jesus, true or false? Jesus wants for us to be joyful. True. Jesus wants for us to have his joy. His joy is a little different than our joy. And we are to have his joy in our life. That's what he desires, so that you have the joy that made my joy is full in them. Are we motivated? We all know the old acronym for joy, correct? Jesus, others, and you, putting in that order how we should look at things, how Jesus wants for us, how others, what we can do for them, and then for ourselves. In other words, putting ourselves last. But he says that I've given them the world, or I've given them the word. Right? And what did they think of it? Right? We've had this conversation before. Boom! When we first became a Christian, why wouldn't everybody just believe that? Why wouldn't everybody? Right? Hal made mention of that in his Sunday school class today. We can read it in the Old Testament scriptures that Jesus Christ is going to be our Savior. We read it in the New Testament scriptures that Jesus Christ is our Savior. Why don't the world get it? Because the world doesn't understand the Word many times. Why doesn't the world understand the Word? Because they don't understand Jesus. Jesus came total selflessness. Came to this world in total selflessness. Our world doesn't understand selflessness the way Jesus is. And even us Christians can be quite selfish from time to time. And should. So when we have the opportunity to do good, when do we have that opportunity to do good? We may say that as we drive by and we see someone with a flat tire. Maybe we see somebody standing on the corner with their hand out, needing a hand up, and we say, "Oh, I could have helped them out." Maybe we see it from all points of different perspective that we could have helped, that we should have helped. So I'm asking you, so when is that good time? When is that good time to do things in the community, Gabby? Right? When is that good time to do things no matter who it is? When is that good time to share with them expecting nothing in return? When is that good time to do something so that you can set the example of the Christian in a person's life? When is that? Go, tell me. Yeah, anytime and every time. So shouldn't we as Christians be pretty busy in things to do? Because we are told to be busy, right? To do good things, especially, and we'll get to that here towards the end, but especially to those of the household of the faith. The world understands doing good. We have got charities. We've got efforts that are put forth. And I'm not bringing down any of them. They're all good things. Mankind can be very loving, charitable, giving, compassionate, friendly. But what we need to do is couple that with our Christianity. There's a lot of good things out there that are not tied to Christ whatsoever. But who's the ones that should be leading the way? I keep thinking of this over and over again from years ago, Hurricane Katrina, and there's been many since then that have caused devastation. But in our contacts with Jason Corder, when the calls were being made to the Red Cross, when the calls were being made to FEMA, they were not being answered. The people made a call to the local church. And the church stepped up. And the church did what was good. And the church carried out the needs of all these people. That's the way it should be. The church should be leading the way. Too many times we sit back and we wonder, what can we do while somebody else steps up and does it? So a couple more questions for us here this morning. So, and we've kind of answered this one on to do good things, but sharing the Word of God, because if we're going to do good things like Jesus did, and Jesus is the Word, then when's a good time to share the Word of God? Yeah, it kind of falls hand in hand. Now, there'll be times, and I've said it, unfortunately, I've heard you say it as well, well, it wasn't the time or the place. Do you ever see that in Scripture? I don't. When we do that, that's our human side getting in the way. Well, it wasn't the time or the place to get into that discussion. Really? Why not? What discussion is more important than salvation? So is it important? The time, the place? Is always a good time to talk about Jesus. Do only non-Christians need to hear the Word of God? No. No. And so we're told in Mark chapter 4 and verse 13, Jesus goes in, he starts a parable here, and he says, the sower sows the word, right? What I like, and then the next one is the Bible in basic English, and this one just cuts right to the chase and says, the seed is the word. So if we're to sow something, let's not forget our good deeds. But should we be sowing good deeds or sowing the Word of God? Yes. Right? It's both. The seed is the Word. We are to sow that seed, which is the Word of God. The Word of God, whether it leads you, its main point is to lead you to Christ. But even if you decide not to follow Christ, following the Word of God, even for a non-Christian, is life improvement. Just doing what the Bible says, even if you don't obey and follow it all out. But I found it interesting that as we look at this passage of text, and we're reminded of all the good things that we in Christ have, the blessings we have, but so does the rest of the world, right? Shelter, food, health, rain, sun, harvest time, blessings of friends and family. Is that only things that Christians receive? No. God blesses all. And so as we look at that and we see this text and we're to do good to all people, but then especially to those in the household of God, right? And so that's the next thing we want to look at, especially to those of the household of faith. Where do you think they got this idea? It's actually an Old Testament thought that they get this. But aren't we thankful that we don't just live under the Old Testament law? That we don't live under the Old Testament? Because here's their thought, and I'll explain this. This is a Jewish tradition here based on Jeremiah 5:3 that says, O Lord, do not your eyes look for truth? You have smitten them, but they did not weaken, right? These are people that are really digging in, right? You have consumed them, and they refuse to take correction. They have made their faces harder than rock. They have refused to repent. So Jewish tradition was, somebody that was going to do that, forget about them. But if you were going to try to be obedient to the law, to the Mosaic law, then you go out of your way for them first. But is that what Paul's telling us to do? Is he saying to make a distinction between the saved and the lost? Is he telling us to make a distinction between those in the world and those in the church? Because he starts off first by saying, do good to who? All people. Who's that? All means everybody, right? And so as we look at that, but especially to those of the household of the faith. And so as we look at that and we're reminded of that, we sometimes, as Josh shared, need to be a little more cognitive of other people's pains and struggles, right? Do we think we can all do better of recognizing trials and stresses in people's life? I think so. But here's what I also think. As a family, and that's what we are, and we'll take a look at that here, that as the family, the household of the faith, I'm also expecting you, on the other end of that, if you're in need, that you let a brother know. Amen? Because we want for everybody to notice, but we don't want to talk to anybody. Right? Isn't that the way it is? I wish, well, they helped this family out, and they never said anything to us. Did you say anything? Well, we shouldn't have had to. Okay, maybe you're right. Again, I'm not perfect, are you? So help a brother out, help a sister out. If you need help, say something to somebody. Guess what? I really don't think they're in the church family here that Bob says, Dave, I need some help. I'm going to be like, yeah, good luck with that. Right? But he's come because he's thinking, I need some help. And this could be of any nature, of a spiritual situation. I need you to pray for me in this situation. Maybe it's something with a job. I can do that. Maybe there's something going on, right? We've got something going on with family. We've got something going on with friends. We've got some, because everybody's got something going on, right? That's why we're too busy to think of everybody else's troubles, because we're thinking about our own. We need to do that. We need to take care of that, but we also need to be recognizing the need that others have. How do we know the guy on the corner at Wendy's there wants money? How do we know that? Because he's asking for it. Right? And then what do we do as the good Christian? Somebody asks for help, and we say, they're probably going back to their $500,000 mansion. Maybe they are, maybe they aren't. Our responsibility, church, is to do good to all people. Amen? Especially to those in the household of faith. So, as we're looking for that opportunity out in the world, you know what? If they take that money and go buy drugs, it's on them. I'm told to do good. Right? They're going to have to answer for that. Right? Maybe there's somebody in the church needs money, you know, I don't know, needs money for Christmas presents. We say, well, why would we do that? Because we need to do good to all people. Would you want for your family to have to go without? No. And we shouldn't let that. Again, the household of faith, right? The household of the faith. Our brothers, our sisters, our family. But as I said, I think it's a two-way street. We should see that we need help because we all need help. Just make that an assumption, okay? We all need help, amen? Say it together. We all need help. We all need help. We all need help, right? We all need help. So you don't have to assume that of anybody in the church. Just know there's something they need help with. Right? But if we can't get that through our head, which we are Church of Christ, okay? So we're a little slow on some things when it comes to that. Then it's still the other person, the sibling, the brother, the sister, the household of the faith, to let the others know I need help. Because as we've established, we want to do good, right? I mean, and this is to God be the glory here. October, it was kind of a money stressful month, wasn't it? We're doing a church drive for the funds there. We had a revival in where we asked you to give above and beyond for that. You know, they had a youth event where they asked for extra funds or gifts to be given. And we never went without in any of those areas. Praise God. To Him be the glory. Right? And so as we look at that, we know that it's there for the taking. What I'm saying is, there's a bunch of people here that want to help. We've already established there's a bunch of people here that need help. Let's get together, people. Right? Not just sitting together in the same building, in the same room, but let's get on the same page in God's Word. And then, this is where we see, so doing good, whether to a fellow Christian or to the unchurched. I didn't know what other word to throw in there. The unsaved, however you want to put it. Whether it's to a Christian or to the unchurched, should you look at them and say, I'm going to help them and not them, no matter which side? No, because the verse first says, do good to all people. Then it says, especially, right, to those of the household of the faith, which is letting us know we live in a world where there's always going to be people that need help, whether in the church or out of the church, whether mental help, right? Sometimes I find that's what we need more. We just need somebody to help encourage us along the way, whether it's a physical help, right? Just you've got your hands full and you need somebody to open a door for you, right? And the list can go, maybe it's spiritual help. Pray for me in this situation. I just feel an overwhelming pressure here. Well, remember, the Lord's not going to give you more than you can handle. And if He's putting you through this, then He knows that you can do it. But it helps to have those praying for us. The list can go on and on. It can be monetarily, all sorts of different issues. People, whether Christians or non-Christians, are going to have. But I will say this, remember, not everybody understands the Word because not everybody understands Jesus. And sometimes that's just because they don't take the time to. But I will say this, no matter the most wicked person on earth or the most humble person on earth, everybody understands when somebody does something good. They may not like it. They may not approve of it. But they understand it. And that's why I think Paul says, do good to all people. Right? Especially those in the household of faith. So then, while you have the opportunity, when do we have the opportunity? All the time. To do good, right? To those, to all people, or especially to those in the household of faith, let us take that opportunity to do good. Because in doing so, who receives the glory? To God be the glory. Amen. There's a plan of salvation that's given in Scripture to where He can receive all the glory for a lost sinner coming home, to those that believe that Jesus is the Christ, to those that are willing to repent of their sin, to those that are willing to confess Jesus Christ as Lord, to those that are willing to be immersed into Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of their sins and to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit and to be faithful unto death. Do good to all people. Kind of goes back to the Sermon on the Mount and let your light shine before men. So it brings God glory. But in the meantime, there's a lot of things that need to be done, and we can do them for the Lord, for others, and bring Him the ultimate glory. Church, we've been given one responsibility here that we've been shared this week. Let's go out and see how we can do in a world that needs it so desperately. Will you stand with us?